Amen. Thank you very much. That was wonderful. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moments. I was about to say, I thought I saw more of you. All right. How are you all doing this morning? Y'all doing all right? All right. Now, Clay had the bag for us this week, and he couldn't be here today, so he sent it by way of his family. All right, so we're going to open it up and see what we got. Sound good? All right, here we go. Oh, we've got a hat. Oh, an angel hat. All righty. May God's love be with you wherever you go. Love one another so his light in you will show. So I'm assuming this is a hat. Does this look like a hat? Yeah. What do we do when we wear hats? Are we covering our heads sometimes in case it rains or maybe to keep the sun off? Easy. Don't touch a man's hat, boy. When we wear hats, typically there's something on them, right? And we're kind of advertising for something. Maybe it's a favorite sports team or a company that we work with. And we have the opportunity each and every day to kind of show God's love to others and to kind of advertise that and let people know how much we love Jesus and how much he loves us. And so we have these opportunities all the time to do that. And so this little hat here kind of symbolizes that. Again, I'm assuming it's a hat. It's very nice. And I assume he colored it and all that good kind of stuff. Yeah, so we have that opportunity each and every day to share God's love with others and kind of let people know who we love and who we serve, all right? So I want us to be mindful of that each and every day. When you guys are in school or with your friends, you have an opportunity to show them love, right? And to show love to your parents, right? By doing what they ask, right? When they ask, just the one time, without having to ask. I lost them on that one. All right, so who hasn't had the bag in a while? Is there anyone who hasn't had the bag? No, nice try. You want the bag? All right, here you go. All right, do you remember the rules of the bag? All right, oh, you don't. Okay, well, I want to remind you. It can't be alive. It can't used to be alive. And if I don't know what it is, you have to tell me what it is, okay? All right, fair enough. So we're going to pray, and then you guys can go to Children's Church, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for the opportunity we have to share your love with others. Lord, we pray that we would be shining lights into the darkness of the lives of other people, and we pray that we can show them God's love in a very real way. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can head downstairs. Our scripture lesson this morning, as you can see in your bulletin, is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. This is, again, a favorite scripture passage, and for those of you maybe who aren't familiar with what we've been doing over the course of this year, is I've been preaching from favorite scripture passages from people in our congregation as they've given those to me. Jeremiah 29, 11 was a favorite that I was given by a few people. And so today, as we look at that, I want to read verses 10 through 14 to, again, kind of give us a little context into what verse 11 is saying. We'll spend most of our time with verse 11, but just to give a little context, we'll read verses 10 through 14. So hear now the word of our Lord from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. The Lord proclaims, "When Babylon's 70 years are up, I will come and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with all your heart, you will find me. I will be present for you, declares the Lord, and I will end your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have scattered you, and I will bring you home after your long exile, declares the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us, for the opportunity we have to gather in your house, to be reminded that we are your family. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that the words you have given me this day would be yours and not mine, that they would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend, and may we in the strength of the bodies you have given to us be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. There's a story that I heard years ago that a preacher told, and I don't know how true the story is. There are elements of it that I think as I tell it will ring true in your own life. But there is a father who is ready to take his son out to get his first baseball glove. The son is preparing to enter into Little League or T-ball or whatever it is, and the father is beside himself with excitement because he has always been a baseball fan. He was one of those who hoped to go pro one day. Anyone hope to go pro in a sport at some point? Okay, a few of us, good. Luckily, we didn't make it or else we wouldn't be here today. So he decides that he's going to take his son to this sports store to get him his very first baseball glove. And on the way, they have to make a stop down at the general store to pick up a few items. And as they're in the general store, they go down the toy aisle. And the little boy, as he's just kind of looking at all the toys, sees this plastic baseball glove. And his heart is full of joy. And he wants this plastic baseball glove. And he says, "Daddy, there's my glove." And the dad's like, no. "We're going to take you to the sports store, get you a leather glove, a glove that's going to last." And as anyone who's ever tried to rationalize with a little child in a toy aisle, you know how fleeting and futile that is. And so after a few minutes of trying to explain to the son that this is an inferior product to what he wants to give him, he finally just picks up the son, goes and pays for what he needs to pay for, and leaves. And the son, of course, is screaming and crying and carrying on as little kids are wont to do. This story today is our story. This story today is a fair representation of Israel's story. They are a people in a land that is not their own. You see, they have settled for inferior gods, for things that do not and will not make them whole. And because of that, they find themselves in exile. How many of us today have ever settled for inferior gods rather than the one true God? There are those in this number of persons who will never taste freedom again. There are some who will live all of their lives in this exile, and then there are others who will be born into it but will be freed some years later, as Jeremiah alludes to in verse 10. You see, there's something better, but they're going to have to wait on God. They're going to have to wait on God's timing. They're going to have to trust that what he says is going to happen will indeed happen. And like the father in this story I just shared, God is no doubt going to have to drag them along, probably kicking and screaming. Anyone ever had God grab you by the back of the collar, kicking and screaming? This letter here that Jeremiah is reading to the king there and to the people in exile is an attempt to tell Israel to keep calm and trust God's plan, because God's plan is a plan of peace and a plan of hope. We, this day, today, need to be reminded that God's plan is for peace. God's plan is for hope. And as the Old Testament continues to tell us, we need to remember. We need to remember what God has done in the history of our people, the people of God. We need to be reminded constantly how God has worked so that we will step into the future unafraid, willing to trust and know that He is going to take care of everything. And this passage helps us to remember and to consider and see a few things that we want to point out today. The first thing that Jeremiah 29:11 tells us is that we need to know that God has a plan. And we are told that God knows what that plan is. God knows what this plan is. Do you know what this plan is? No. Do I know what this plan is? Yes, but I'm not allowed to tell you. God, no, I'm just kidding. We know it's a plan for peace and hope, but we don't know exactly what that's going to look like. God tells us plainly that He knows the plans He has in mind for us. He knows His plan for peace and not disaster, a future hope that we can rely on. And for me, just for me, this is continually emphasized, and I continue to see this in what most of us would probably consider the boring parts of the Bible. Has anyone ever read the boring parts? You know what I'm talking about, all right. Or maybe you've gotten to it and thought, I'll read that tomorrow, right? It's like anything. How many of us dread reading the laws, right? We get halfway through Exodus and then all the way through Deuteronomy, and you're just like, oh, this is so tedious. This is so boring. Or how many of us get a little bored when it starts describing the tabernacle and the temple? Well, the curtain is going to be X inches long, and it's going to be this color, and the walls are going to look like this, and there's going to be cedar here, and this is going to be great over here, and then there's going to be this over here, and it's got to be exactly this and exactly that, right? And it gets tedious. And don't even get me started on the genealogies. My goodness gracious. The only word I understand is beget. I can't read any of the names. I don't understand what they are. If you ever hear me read them, I'm simply reading them in ignorance and in confidence. Because I know that if I read them confidently, you're not going to question what I've said, because then I'm going to ask you to read it next time. We dread reading these. And the details can be overwhelming and tedious. Yet in the midst of reading these, we see how clearly God has His plans laid out. There is no guesswork involved in what God has in store for His people. These are the things I want you to do. These are the things I don't want you to do. This is what will happen if you do these things. This is what will happen if you do those. They know exactly what the tabernacle and the temple are going to look like because God has it planned out to the very number of nails and boards that are going to be used. And the genealogies are nothing but a representation of God's continued provision and providence in each and every generation. God leaves nothing to chance, ever. And if He takes such great care to plan all of this out, why in the world would we doubt the future? Why in the world would we doubt what's coming next? Because we know God knows. We know He's got a plan for it. We know He is there working it out even now. I think we often doubt simply because God doesn't tell us His plan. How many of you realize today that with God you're on a need-to-know basis? And most of the things you just don't need to know. I remember years ago as I was beginning ministry, God, please don't show me the end goal here. Just show me the next step. Just show me the next step. That's all I want to see, because if you show me that down there, guess what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to try to get there yesterday. Just show me the next step, because I cannot handle hardly that, let alone anything else. And I think we doubt God's plans because we know that if we don't know the next steps, maybe there's this thought that He doesn't know them. Anyone here ever shoot from the hip from time to time? Anyone here ever wait till the last second to get something done? I can remember in college, I was the nerd that got things done ahead of time. And so as I was walking to go print my paper out, here's my friends in their rooms working on other stuff. And darn it, if they didn't get better grades each and every time there was something due than I did. I'm not bitter. But God knows the plans he has for us. And the question becomes for us, can we trust him? Can we trust the plans he has? We need to know today that God knows his plans. The second thing we need to be aware of is that God's plans are always for our well-being. Did you know this morning that you are the desire of God's heart? Did you know this morning that everything God does, he does for you? He does for me. He does for us. Whether you believe it or not this morning, and I hope that you do, know that God wants what is best for you. You are God's primary concern. Why else would Jesus have come if we were not his primary concern? Why else would the Holy Spirit be with us if we were not God's primary concern? I honestly believe the reason God wants us to put him above everything else is because he puts us above everything else. He wants that reciprocal love. He wants us to return to him the type of love he shows us, the love that puts us above everything else he has going on. You see, the difficulties the Israelites are facing are their own doing. They haven't returned God's love with love. They've decided to go their own way. They've decided to go after the plastic glove rather than the leather glove. And so they're sorely disappointed because now they're living out the reality of what that looks like. And how many of us today can say with certainty that we have chosen that plastic glove far too often? And that many of the issues we face are our own doing. God knows the plans that he has. His plans are always for our well-being. And finally, God will see his plan through to completion. God is one who finishes what he starts. Three of the greatest words ever recorded in Scripture are by Jesus while he's on the cross. He says, "It is finished." Done. He has completed the work that he has set out to do. Salvation has been granted and is given to each and every one of us. The leather glove is there for all of us to get if we can bypass all of the plastic gloves that tend to get in our way. The peace and hope that God promises us will happen. It can happen now. How many of you are having a pretty good day today? Especially now that you're listening to my sermon. It's a pretty good day today. That peace and that hope that we have in God is there. It's present. It's alive. And then there are others of us who don't have that. And I can honestly tell you that for many of us, we're just one decision away from having it. Just take it. It's there. It's there for you right now. Scripture reminds us over and over again how God's plans always happen. They always come to fruition. And we know that this is going to happen because of how God says it here in this passage. He says it four times in the verses that we read today, and he says it at least once in the passage of our emphasis here in verse 11. We know this is going to take place because God has declared it. "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. This is a running theme throughout Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He's always got something, some bad news to give us, but that phrase, "declares the Lord," is peppered throughout this entire book. And we know that it's going to happen because God has declared it. And when God declares something, God declares it by himself. Because of who I am, this is going to happen. Now, we're told in Scripture by Jesus to let our yes be yes and our no be no, right? We don't have to swear on anything, because when we say yes, that should be the answer. When we say no, that should be the answer. When God says something, he means it. He's going to do it. He is declaring that it's a fact. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. That's it. It's the bottom line. It's going to happen. Whether you want it or not, God is going to give you peace, and he's going to give you a future filled with hope. So take it. Let it be your reality. Because God declared it, Israel eventually returned home. Because God declared it, the Christ child, the Messiah, was born. Because God declared it, the Holy Spirit is here with us now. Because God declares it, Christ will return. Because God declares it, the difficulties you are facing will come to an end. God has declared it. There will be peace. The hope of this is certain. The question for us becomes, can you receive it? Can you accept it? Can you trust it? Will you wait for it? Because it's not going to come right away. Maybe it's on the way right now, but you're not ready to receive it just yet. So this morning, I simply want to tell you, keep calm. God has a plan. And it is a very good plan. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for your mercies that are new each day. And Lord, we thank you ahead of time for the miracle and the glory that will be this eclipse as we have an opportunity to view it. We pray that as we have expected and hoped for this day to arrive tomorrow, that we will have that same expectation and that same hope for your return. And Lord, as we enjoy this marvelous thing that you were doing in the cosmos, Lord, may we continue to marvel and to enjoy the things that you were doing in our lives. May we enjoy the mundane and know that in all things you are working, and that you have declared it. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.